Welcome, Thrivers, to the Thriving Parenting Podcast, where we're here to celebrate the imperfect journey of parenthood, leveling up in areas that feel icky and out of whack. Our mission is to help you find a more confident and 100% less tired, sustainable version of you, no matter what kind of parenting day you're having. Because I truly believe to thrive as a parent, we need to begin with a thriving you. I'm your host, Jen, a parent of three, RN, mind-body practitioner, baby toddler sleep coach, and parent mentor who has helped over 500 families achieve more rest and level up their parenting life. Join me each week as we embark on a quest to silence your inner critic, drop the shoulds, and redefine norms, raising your little ones with ease, regulation, resilience, all while prioritizing your own well-being too. Through insightful discussions on mindset, parenting, and sleep, we'll cut through the noise and arm you with the tools to thrive, not just survive in parenthood. If you are ready to thrive together, one episode at a time, let's do it. I am so excited to dive into one accessible parenting tool that will ease the stress you are experiencing and also improve your health and be an amazing connection tool to your child. Like, it literally is doing a trifecta of benefits, and you have to unlock this. So I cannot wait to tell you what it is, because I know you already possess it, which is the most exciting thing. This is a parenting tool that you don't need to be an expert on or go and do a course on. You have it. And this podcast alone is going to tell you, even if you find it tricky to find it in your parenting on a daily basis, I'm going to give you the smallest little things that you can be using this on a daily basis, even in those challenging times. So the parenting tool is humor. Now, I'm not going to talk you through how to crack jokes with your child for each age range. We're going to go through some tangible examples, of course, because I want you to feel that this podcast has given you value that you can start to consider. But I equally know that some of you are experiencing heavy challenges in your parenting. You're feeling anxious and overwhelmed. And to think about even expressing some level of humor is really, really hard. So I'm going to help you work through that and break through that and get some shifts happening for you. Because I know you're a fun person. I know before you had kids, you laughed. And I guarantee you, every time you laughed, you weren't saying to yourself afterwards, "Oh, that felt shit. Not going to do that again." You were likely having the best belly laughs with your friends, doing exciting things for yourself, and having fun. It's part of life. Like, who wants to get to the end of their life and just say, "Oh, how boring, and I didn't have very much fun." And when you have kids, I don't want you to stop having fun. I want you to see how you can really involve that. It will be different, potentially doing different things than when you are a single person or just a married person or in a relationship, but you are still going to explore and be able to express this fun, humorous side of you and find out how that can work, and not only build on that with your kids. Your kids are going to love you for it. The connection's going to get stronger and you're going to feel less stress. It's going to combine all three of those, which is so, so exciting. So first of all, let's get into why humor is good for our health. It has been proven that laughter reduces pain and physical tension. And it does this because stress is held in our cells of our body. It's held in our body. If you ever really check in and have some self-awareness around when you're feeling stressed and consider what your body is doing in that moment, likely I can almost guarantee that you're probably not breathing properly. You're probably really shallow breathing, not taking those deep breaths. Your heart rate is probably going a million miles an hour. You might have your shoulders up by your ears because your body is so tense. Maybe your palms are all sweaty. All of those things can, our bodies are really absorbing that stress. So we want to be able to release that and not hold on to that. So laughing is one way that we actually release that stress from our body, and that reduces the pain and physical tension. So that's amazing, right? So, or you've gone the opposite way where instead of in that hyper arousal state feeling stressed, you've completely closed yourself down. You're a shell of yourself. You've just gone so into yourself, you stop communicating, you're just like a zombie walking around. So your body can also exhibit stress that way as well. So that way, laughter as well, just moving and laughing can just be huge for shifting that energy and start to bring more positive energy back into your system. That's what we want for you and your child, to go through a stressful situation for your child, whether it's like going to daycare and then they start laughing at some other kids at daycare and they release that stress, that feeling of overwhelm that came over them when they said goodbye to you, and they involve that humor to move through it. And it's the same for parenting in life. It's like seeing a stressful moment or being in a stressful moment and being able to shift. It is fantastic for emotional regulation to really support and help our children regulate their emotions and cope with difficult situations that are going to happen, as I just mentioned. And humor is a positive coping strategy. So encouraging that laughter in response to a stress is going to help your child develop resilience and adaptive coping skills. And we need them too in parenting. We've never parented before, so we need new coping skills. And we could be the most zen person prior to parenting, and throw into parenting, we're going to experience a lot more stresses and likely need more tools in our toolbox to manage this and support self-regulation than we've ever needed anywhere else in our life, because we had way more control over our life previously. We either chose not to experience stressful situations, so therefore coping strategies were not needed, or we had things that we could do, like, oh, I can just, you know, go for a walk, where we can't always do that when we've got little people to look after. We can't just go, oh, see you later, my one-year-old. I'm just going for a walk because mummy's feeling stressed and I'll be back. We can't do that. So we need to look at alternative ways of coping with the excess and stress that parenting will naturally bring. It's also so powerful for cognitive development, because they're seeing not just a monotone person of yourself. They're seeing so many areas to you, how you communicate, like, oh, mum can be that person that lays out a boundary. Mum can also be this fun, laughy person. Like, they're really learning, and you're modeling so many levels of the humanness in you to your child. So you're developing their communication. You're doing and using new vocabulary when you're being funny. You're changing your sentence structures. You're changing the sound of your voice. Like, this is amazing. They're going to be really expanded cognitively when we add humor into our day. So let's talk about now the where and the how. Where can I use these? And as we've mentioned before, in stressful situations, we can use these to lighten the mood, but you can literally drop parenting humor in any places in your child's day and your day when you need it. I love it around those monotonous moments in parenting, like meal times and bedtime. Obviously, if we're just focusing on humor at those times of the day, there's a potential of not wanting to go to bed, because now mum or dad's become really fun. So we want to obviously plant seeds throughout the day and break up things with humorous laughter connection moments. But it can be really good to shift not only our funk around the bedtime and meal times, which can often be our biggest stressful moments. It is going to bring about connection and cooperation and actually aid relaxation, which I'll go into now. So full discretion, we're going to have to deliver age-appropriate humor, that we're not going to send our child the absolute opposite way and create an overstimulated situation that they cannot switch off in. And overstimulation is really common, and it's like it really just repels sleep. So we're really finding what works for our child when we're wanting to implement more humor and fun into the routines. So for young babies, it can be just getting dressed and doing something simple like peekaboo when you're putting the nappy on, or like getting things organized. You're having a little laughter moment before you start to slow the pace down, like read a story, give milk, all of those things. It's just some little connection humor moment before that happens. You could like pop the nappy on their head or on your head, or, you know, do something as you're getting them dressed after the bath, and then start to reduce the tone from there. For older babies and toddlers, it can be, how do we want to carry them from the bath? Like, you might take an older baby and be like, rock a bye baby, and take them in to get dressed, and it's so lovely for them. Or for older, like for toddlers, you might look at, should we just hop into the bedroom like a kangaroo and get dressed? Or let me walk backwards with you, or let me carry you a fireman's carry into the bedroom. So we can actually really start to do different things to lighten those step-by-step processes that can feel just monotonous and exhausting for us. And I know some of you will say, I just don't have the energy to add that level of humor. So sometimes if we're feeling that flat and unenergized, our body does need a shake up. Like, go out into the living room before you start that bedtime routine, or run around the garden and just build your energy back up, or shake your body and do like a little dance or something and be like, I'm going to clear myself ready for this to push through this last bit of energy, because I guarantee you're going to be leaving bedtime routine with a lot more positive interactions than potential tantrums when you're low energy and you're like, and they're going to feed off that and probably start to play up more and actually make the whole situation worse. So it's going to be worth it. I know it takes finding that like little 1-2% of you to really get out of that, especially if you've been having some really hard times around sleep and you just feel like, oh, I'm just done. Like, I totally get that. But when we can say that these energy moments and bringing in that humor is actually going to change the whole future time for you at bedtime, it's so worth it. It's worth pushing through that discomfort of having low energy to get through it. So whatever you can do there to help you, make sure you've had something to eat, you've had a drink, make sure where you can, you've had support during the day, things like that to hopefully help you choose a good time to start this new approach. Because honestly, bedtimes can be lighthearted. They can be playful. We can have healthy boundaries around bedtime and bring fun and connection to them. So it's not, we don't want to be like, okay, if you keep going, you've got to go to bed. Like, it's not a punishment. Like, going to sleep is actually really essential for their well-being and health, same as ours. We want to see it as a nice thing that, like, we've done things and then we've gone to bed. So, you know, stuff in your bedtime routine. Some other things we can do is go and say goodnight to like the stars or things like that. So it's just feeling like very imaginative and playful. And then we can come back and say, okay, you've got 5 kisses. Where do you want these kisses? And you could almost laugh if they say like, point and kiss to your feet. You could be like, do I have to put a kiss there? And they might start giggling and you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all done. And it can be that they're cooperating and feeling really connected to you in this moment of separation. I also like things like putting them to bed upside down. So you pretend to say goodnight to their feet, your older toddlers, like, good night, love you. And they're like, I'm down here. And you're like, oh my gosh, I put you in upside down. Or blowing out the light, like having the light switch or the little dim light you have on before they go to sleep, go, okay, big blow, 1, 2, 3, blow. And you don't quite make it go out and you keep like flickering it for a little bit, blow harder. And how funny are toddlers blowing? By the way, they're like, they just don't have that strength or connection to do it properly. So they're going to be really hard spitting everywhere trying to do it. But it's so cute. You'll reflect back on these moments when they grow up and be like, oh, I wish they could blow out the light again. I wish I could put them in upside down. Trust me, you're going to get tweens and teens. And if I did that to my son, he'll be like, Mom, I can get myself to bed. Like, what are you doing? So treasure these beautiful laughter special moments with our kids and find that energy, because it's addictive. Once you get it, you're like, oh my God, this is so worth my evenings now. And the same goes for reading books and things at nighttime. I always found that I would get so bored. As much as I love the step at the same time, sometimes I'll be like, oh, story time again, we're here again. And especially if your child is really attached to one specific book and you're like, oh my God, I cannot bring myself to read. Sometimes I would, you know, start the story and bring the book upside down and start reading and they'll be like, what are you doing? Or I would change my voice for babies and toddlers. They will love this, as I mentioned, like voice changing and different characters based on your voice. Your baby will stop looking at the pages. They'll likely be watching your mouth move and be like, I didn't know mum had this amazing sound. Like, this is so cool. So having voice changing, doing silly faces, that's another great. These are all simple things that you can do and will definitely shape your mood and their mood as well. And just like you may need to move your body to shift some of that stressed energy or that funk that you've got or how you're feeling or just really give you an energy boost, it's so good for. Dance parties are great for any age. So it can be just working out what feels good for your baby. So for example, my second child, I would have like my toddler running around, my second child on my hip, and literally be throwing her around in these crazy dance moves. And she was just having the best time of her life. Whereas my third child, she was really sensitive to movement and she would barely even want to be pushed on a swing because it was just too much for her. So when we had dance parties and my other two toddlers were dancing, I would just be doing like little bops with her and that was enough for her and she was still having fun. So dance parties or really attuning to your child, same as tickles, right? It's like some kids love it. They want to be tickled super hard and other kids you can sense and see that they're like, stop now, but I don't know how to communicate that to you. So it's always worth when humor is involving physical touch to really, really attune to your child. And if it's like becoming uncomfortable, just stop. We don't need to keep tickling them because we think we should, or we like the sound of their giggle. If they're looking like they're uncomfortable, bring back and do something different. So before I move on to how to connect to humor when it doesn't come naturally to you, I'm going to quickly cover at mealtimes, because I know this is a big stressful situation too, and a big thing that we have to do every single day. So I used to love making faces out of their dinner, like, you know, pasta for eyebrows or like a broccoli nose or things like that, and just letting them see those faces. It's not anticipating that they're going to then consume everything of their dinner. It's really normal to not, or to only want to eat pasta one day, and then they'll explore if the broccoli still repeats on their plate, they'll explore it another day. So don't feel like it's all about, you know, they should, now I've made a funny face, they should eat it all. It still may be some rejecting happening and it's not your fault. They may like to eat their lunch in the back of their digger truck and, you know, the sandwich gets delivered on the truck and beep, boop, boop, here's your sandwich, you know, something like that can be so exciting. I think sometimes get caught up in like how mealtimes should look, like my kids should sit there, they should be not laughing, not having fun, eat their meal and then move on, because we've often been modeled that with our parents or grandparents or whatever it might have been in our family dynamic. It's like mealtime should look this way. Whereas what we know is that mealtimes for our babies and toddlers and children, it's about fun, playing. They generally eat more if they're having fun. They feel less forced and pressured. And it's a long time also, like more than 10 minutes of sitting. Your toddler's had enough. Your baby's had enough. So we want to keep it fun and engaging, allow them to touch and play. Maybe they want to put pasta on each of their fingers and pretend they're a witch and, you know, like have fun. They're likely going to be like, okay, eat that one first. You know, you can encourage them to consume based on making it fun and exciting. So really, really important to let go of some of those maybe old modeling behaviors you've seen and start to see how you can add more joy into those harder, mundane, monotonous tasks in parenting. So what if humor doesn't come naturally to you? How can we start to make some changes for ourselves? So number one is shifting your perspective. let's start to see the lighter side of challenges. Because again, we're not acknowledging that it's not a challenge, but we can choose to let that keep festering in us, or we can choose to move from that. So challenging situations, like, you know, when you just sometimes say you've had like this tsunami and this massive explosion, it is kind of a laugh or cry moment, right? You're like, oh my God, where has my life got to? Like, is this what I do on a daily basis? And sometimes you just have to laugh because you're almost like, I couldn't make this up today. Like, what I've experienced in my parenting with back-to-back things and challenges, you're like, I could not make this up. So seeing the lighter side of a really challenging moment or shit day is so crucial. I'll give you an example where I have managed to shift a huge perspective, because we traveled so much with our kids when they were younger. I was living in South Korea, like, for a lot of my kids' younger years. We moved there 3 times in 4 years. So I was always on flights with kids, and I learned to certainly begin to shift perspectives on stressful situations, which can be traveling with kids, because it was a case that I needed to do that to survive and support myself, to also not get angry at my kids that I can't, because I can't control them. So it was like an essential survival thing to adapt humor. And it feeds into my norm, like, to my life and like traveling now, even as a family. My husband, not so much. He still gets way more stressed than I do. But for example, like running late to a flight with kids and, you know, that frantic running, like, I, instead of being like, come on, let's go, like, hurry up, rah, you know, I'm always like, all right, we've got to run really fast. Have you got your fast legs? Because we are going to be late for this. Ready, set, go. And you might be carrying a baby in a bag about to like break yourself, but your kid is just laughing at you because you're like literally bawling with sweat, running as fast as you can and having a laugh. Obviously, if you don't make the flight, that really sucks. But if you actually make the flight, nobody died. It wasn't an emergency. You still got there. You still got in your seats, probably a bit more sweatier than you wanted to, but you actually survived it. And your kids are going to look at like, wow, that was really stressful, but look at how they've coped with it. Number two, laugh at yourself. And that kind of, yeah, in those moments, you sometimes just need to remind yourself that you are not a perfect human. You're going to make mistakes. You just have to laugh. So honestly, embrace those imperfections. I've had put my kid to bed and I haven't done the zip up properly on the sleeping bag. Then I've looked at them and like the sleeping bag hanging off and I'm like, oh my God, how annoying. Why did I do that? Why didn't I check that zip properly? Oh, you just have to let that go. Number three, share funny stories. Share funny stories with your friends. Talk about those parenting hard days and laugh. It's so good for you. Number four, watch funny movies like TV shows, stand-up comedy. Oh my gosh, it's all Bluey. Oh my gosh, how inspiring is Bluey to have humor in parenting? So good. But find your type and style of humor. And I watch comedy a lot because it certainly releases any stress or overwhelm, especially if my day's been particularly hectic. Like, there's nothing better than a good laugh. And as your kids get older, like, create some inside jokes together. So we do this stupid little wink where, you know, when you kind of wink, but your whole face moves at the same time. So I almost try and get my mouth to hit my eyeball because I'm just winking that weirdly. And then he winks back and we wink together before we start laughing. Just those little moments, handshakes as well. So my kids and I, and you might do this with a toddler, but do a little handshake or something before you say goodnight or at different times. So my daughter and I have this handshake where we end up doing a Star Trek, is it Star Trek or Star Wars, where you split your two fingers in apart and it's kind of, yeah, that big split in the middle. We connect those and then we make an alien sound. But at the moment, it's gone from sounding like an alien to sounding like some weird strangled cat. But we go and we do something weird, but it's just, again, humor, connection, so, so good. Number five, a humor journal. Write down funny moments in parenting. Honestly, I wish I wrote down more stuff about how I was feeling or something crazy that happened or those challenging days that you just can't believe. Because as you move further and further out of it, you're like, oh my God, look at what I coped with on a daily basis. It's so great for reflection, for it actually create such positive emotions coming back to you and memories. It's so good. But I always jotted down, or tried to, when I remembered, was funny moments, some funny things my kids say and did, and write it on my phone, because I only went back through my phone before preparing for this podcast and I was looking at some stuff and it was so awesome. And one thing I did do, which I highly recommend if you haven't started, is for all three of my kids in the first year, I kind of wrote down moments or events, and it wasn't all humorous moments. Some of it was they started to walk or something so small. And I'll show you a couple. Well, I won't show you because you're not in my house. I will read you a couple. So for example, for my youngest, I wrote really big giggle at 14 weeks, putting her face into the chandelier crystals hanging, so cute. So to give context, I didn't just like jam my kid into a chandelier. We, as I mentioned before, we lived in South Korea. The decor was very luxe, very extravagant, very royal. There was always chandeliers above the dining room table. So she was 14 weeks old and I was holding her and I put her head towards it and let all the little plastic crystals go on her face, and she just made the cutest giggle. So that was that event. You know, I also wrote down things like, it's so cute, she's got four long black hairs on her head that blow in the breeze. Something random, but it brought me back to that moment. And I just got filled with so much love by just reading that back. And playful parenting, number six, we kind of covered a lot of ideas of how to be playful, but it can be just rolling around, giggling, having fun. It can be something so simple, depending on where your energy level is at. And number seven, take breaks. If you're trying to push for something, even if you want to do admin work and you're pushing and pushing to try and get the energy to do it, but it's just not coming, sometimes taking a break works really well. So actually just taking a break, just going for a walk, getting outside, it might ignite some playfulness in you by just acknowledging that you needed that break with your child in the pram, however it looks, in the car, but just getting out the house, getting out that same space. And in that same breath, be patient. Finding humor in parenting does not happen overnight. It may not happen overnight. So just keep an open mind. And over time, you're going to likely discover this is one of your favorite parenting tools, but just let it come. Take some of this information and let it come to you. These humorous moments of connection and stress reduction are also going to be coming directly from your child. Number one, it's literally the language that children speak, is to have fun and laugh and engage and have those humorous moments. So they will be experimenting with that based on the modeling that you've done. They're going to be able to connect with you in their own humorous way. And that is so, so cool. So we've covered a lot, actually longer than I thought, but we have gone into some really cool ideas to bring humor into your family dynamic right now. We've talked about the health benefits of humor and laughing and having fun. And I want you to keep having fun, even as a parent. This is so, so important for you to thrive. We've also discussed ways to try and engage and connect to humor when it feels quite hard and it feels not natural to you. So I think we've covered enough. I am going to leave this podcast episode as I would normally, with a quote. So the quote we have is, "The child in you, like all children, loves to laugh, to be around people who can laugh at themselves and life. Children instinctively know that the more laughter we have in our lives, the better." Until next time, Thrivers. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of Thriving Parenting. I hope this episode has inspired you in some way to embrace the journey with all of its imperfections, with more confidence, joy, and self-compassion. As a serial podcast sharer myself, I know the power that one shared episode can have for someone. So if you know anyone who would benefit from this episode, pay it forward and share the love and support with them. If you'd like to connect with me and find out more about how I can support you on your parenting journey, you can find me over on Instagram where my handle is sleep_thrive_grow. For now, my advice is to embrace your human need to grow so you can start to thrive in the best way you can. Because happy, healthy parenting starts with a happy, healthy you. Until next time, Thrivers.